Having done it.
We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, chatting today with Pottawatomie County government officials. We have First District Commissioner Dee McKee and Assistant Planner Stephen Metzger here. We're going to talk a little bit about housing, and I understand yesterday at the Pottawatomie County Commission meeting that the Flint Hills Regional Council approached the commission about possibly doing a housing needs assessment.
Yep. So we, I got an email last week from Flint Hills Regional Council about some funding that they've gotten from the Department of Housing and Urban Development to do what's called a housing needs assessment for the county. And that would include both the unincorporated county as well as the incorporated cities to take a look at the age of their housing, the housing that's missing from the people that currently live there, how to, you know, we're a growing county, so obviously there's going to be data about how much more housing you would need, where it needs to be located. And it was the county commission wanted a little more information. They wanted us to kind of go to those smaller communities and find out, is this something that they would want? So we're going to do that, and then we'll come back to them to see what their views are on supporting a housing needs assessment.
It is, especially for the smaller towns that have not had planning for them, St. George, Emmett, Wheaton, Havensville, Oldsburg hadn't done one, but Onega has in some ways, and Westmoreland has participated in. Once they get that there, they also get the information about resources in rural development that can be helpful. Over in Onega, after that, they collaborated with the hospital to put in a daycare, child care facility because people wanted that to be able to live there, and it's kind of a piece that builds the process. And I think that for some of them, this would be possible, especially with NBAF coming in. There are some kinds of growth that are possible, and the animal care and things like that might come from them working with animals, and then one watch whether they stay disease free or whatever. We've talked tentatively about it, but the study itself gives them some background information and then access to resources, and I think that's probably what a lot of them would benefit from. That comes from the Flint Hills Regional Council.
So where's most of the growth in your county? Is it on the southern part there?
Absolutely. Yep. It's what we say. It's like
so. Yeah, our county is bifurcated, right? So once you get south, the southern third really of the county is growing incredibly quickly. The unincorporated part of the county does more new housing starts, single family housing starts, than not only Wamego and St. George and other communities in this county. But it also does more housing starts than the city of Manhattan every year. It does more housing starts than the city of Topeka every year. And so
– on percentages?
On real numbers. And so so we're trying to keep up with that. But that's really only happening in a portion of the county. Once you get north of really Flush or Westy, you know, communities like Westmoreland, Oldsburg, Onega, Havensville, Emmett, those communities really aren't growing. And so trying to plan for that, trying to be a county commission for what is essentially two different counties creates a unique challenge for those guys and for everybody that works for the county. And so this housing needs assessment, you know, would be a pretty interesting look at just how bifurcated this county actually is. And so that's kind of the story of where our housing growth happens.
Previously, you had some discussion pertaining to solar panels. I kind of like was in another conversation. Mm-hmm. I did get a text message from our friend Greg McHenry, Riley County Appraiser, who says, solar panels are valued based on what our local sales show their competitors' value to be. Typically, that's not nearly their cost. In Manhattan, homes are assessed at 11.5%, not 12%.
Thank you for those corrections.
Hopefully, that clears that up for y'all.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Yeah,
you know, thank Greg.
It's what you're here for.
Thank Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm utilitarian here.
Thank you, Greg, through Dave.
I always say, what did I say earlier? I'm a graduate of MSU. That is, make stuff up. When you think you've got it right, you find out you weren't.
Oh, stuff is the word. Yes.
No, the numbers and percentages are often just one or two off someplace. If you land the wrong place, it's not there. This housing process and so on is most interesting because people tend to not want to have multifamily homes, but we haven't a good decision about what multifamily homes look like, or patio homes where everybody can live and somebody takes care of the property, especially senior citizens who have moved to our county have said to me, I would like to have a place like that where I'd live in a nice community, but I didn't have to take care of the grass or the any of the problems of home ownership, but I could just have a good time. And that doesn't require a lot of more than just planning, and it ends up being sometimes two-story, sometimes townhomes. So we've been talking about that in the planning, and that's the challenge is to not end up with all of these houses on rural acreages, and in 25 years you're going to need sewer and so on to take care of them because all of the individual sewers, we don't have sand under everything that we're building on. And so it has this planning potential that we have to look at and get it to treatment. And that's part of our plan is how do we do that without ending up in the backside wishing we hadn't done something wrong. Our sewer in Blue Township, after our studies and so on, we're building it so it can drain all the way down to the side of the county. That's what needs to happen in some of those smaller towns, too, when they do grow. And
just to build off what Dee's saying, even in the growing part of the county, the growing third of the county, there's even that has two different types of growth in it. So you've got the Blue Township growth, which we talk about a lot. It's on its own sewer system. It's on water. And so when you do that, you can get a lot more density. So our single-family housing lots in that area are a quarter of an acre, two-tenths of an acre. Some of them are even as small as 5,500, 6,000 square feet. Contrasting that with the St. George area or the Wamego area, those are on individual septic systems, and so the lot size there is maybe an acre and a half at the smallest, typically 2 acres and 3 acres. And so it's a really complicated housing picture for the county to try and obviously if you're doing those larger lot subdivisions, you're taking up a lot more land to build a lot fewer houses. So, you know, a quarter section, 160 acres out by St. George, you might be able to get 80 homes in it if you're lucky. That same quarter section in Blue Township, we were talking about 400 homes, 450 homes. And so trying to plan for those, not only the growth, but the different types of growth, just creates a lot of unique and interesting challenges for at least from my perspective.
The other piece is, and we talked about it in planning, is counties across the state have a lot of right-of-way, and people put a lot of things in the right-of-way, cables, and they want to put water lines, and they put things that pertain to gas lines, and they don't always necessarily follow the property lines. But what we're trying to also look at is where should those be? And as a commissioner, and I've advocated this for several years, I'd like them to give us a flyover with a drone and show us where the lines are so we know where they are. And we have given up the right sometimes to where towers go because of negotiations in Topeka about some of those big towers. They end up on property that the government owns, and no private person's getting the rent. And I don't particularly like that because they have selected in some cities to put them in places where people didn't want that tall tower just because that was where the ground was. There's a conversation about that and making sure we know that the water districts are participating in our planning and know where we're going. And that kind of thing is just moving forward with where we need to be in the future. Water lines are very important to us. We had trouble on Vineyard Road, we couldn't get Cox to remove their cable for TV. And I think Peter said he notified them in January, and there it was in the middle of July, and they still weren't moved. And we moved all of our crews to another project because of that cable line. And I have to tell you, I called them and said to them, if you don't have it at the end of the week, we are going to bring the line, come back, and the line will be in jeopardy. And it was. But they've got to be able to play with us, or we're going to have to write resolutions that say, if you come to our county, here's what we expect in terms of the right to be on the easement and right of way. And I think most counties need that. We don't necessarily think about it till after the fact and go, oh, gosh, if we'd only known that, we could have saved something here for the taxpayers. So it's part of the planning. Boy, it's interesting.
And this all, again, is this all filtering into the comprehensive plan? Because I know you guys have been working on that.
Yeah, so the comp plan is going to look at the county from a pretty high perspective, you know, a 10,000 foot level. And that's sort of, we're kind of wrapping that up, hopefully, fingers crossed. I've been going through with the county commission chapter by chapter, Not necessarily what's in the plan. You know, I've given them copies of the plan. No one wants to listen to me drone for an hour up in front of the commission. So what I've been trying to do with the commission is in that first five-year chunk of the, once we've adopted the comp plan, what can we hope to achieve chapter by chapter? And so yesterday I did the growth management chapter, which takes a look at the infrastructure levels, the type of growth, how much growth, and just going through and showing them recommendations that are in the plan that we can accomplish within the first 5 years of adopting the plan. A regional infrastructure committee, for example, that would include the counties, the cities, rural water districts, Westar, Bluestem, telecommunications companies, Kansas Gas, basically anybody and everybody that's providing utilities or infrastructure to these new housing developments. You know, if we can get together once a year or twice yearly to just keep each other informed on what's going on, that's going to help us to create better developments, to create developments that are going in places where the infrastructure is already there, already planned to be there, and not have to feel flat-footed or anything like that as we do these new developments over the next 20 or 30 years.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's coming along nicely then.
It is. I'm enjoying it. So it's been 2 years of my life that it's been a learning experience, that's for sure.
It provides the chance to think about these complex issues. It doesn't mean that everyone has an answer. We still have the planning boards that will be advising us on that, and the infrastructure plan, the utilities plan, all of those things are things that may come about in the future. What I don't want to do is a lot of urban sprawl with the prairie land and the people that are farming having no ability to burn or to take care of their cattle because we've got, you know, somebody that's put a development in such a way that they didn't understand what they were facing when they came to it, or that they are spread to all four corners of the property instead of maybe being in a comprehensive group of four someplace as an estate or a group, you know, related family people that works well. And we've thrown a lot of those questions out there. It's not going to be perfect, but at least we're going to have had an opportunity to formulate something. There can always be, what do you call, an exception or a variance, but we're trying to avoid as much as possible variance, because once you do one, it becomes a real anchor around your neck for anything else in the future.
Very good. Well, let's take a break, come back more. We'll talk. We'll wrap up our conversation here with Dee McKee and Stephen Metzger when we return on News Radio KMAN.